Bibles, we're going to have a brief reading in the book of Ephesians. You'd think we'd spend enough time there, but what we're speaking of in Colossians is covered in one sense in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. While you're turning there, let me say a word also. We did have the opportunity to visit with the Shanes, who were with us for a period of about a year, several years ago. And as we were speaking, John said that you folks at Westminster made one big mistake with them, and that is that they knew that you loved them too much, so it's been very hard for them to go back to Columbia to stay. They wanted to come here to Kingsport. But they spoke of the things that they carried with them back to Kenya and of the impact this congregation had had upon their lives and how thankful they were for the time and the season that they had here. And one of them was, again, one of the things that they appreciated so much was that we were able to sit down and discuss with them things about which we did not initially agree, and yet were able to discuss with humility and gentleness with them, and they took those things back with them and embraced them. And so I want to commend that type of ministry to you. I want to commend you all. Let us remember to be firm in our convictions, but to be gentle in our dealings, because in that way, I believe God is glorified and his work is done. And certainly, we all have more of a part in their ministry than just in our giving and our prayers. But we have had a part in fashioning their ministry and in what they do. And we can be very thankful for that. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And now back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Just one verse from the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, and verse number 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. May God be pleased to bless to our obedience the reading of God's holy word. Please be seated. I toyed with the idea of maybe skipping over this one, but this verse has always intrigued me. It's something that I remind Bunny all the time. Something that I need to be reminded of by Bunny all the time, that there's a certain arrangement and a certain priority in the way that we should do things. Do your outside work first, and then you can prepare your house. You know, if I were to ask the question tonight, how many adults here this evening do not have enough things to do to keep you busy? I don't think I'd have any takers. We all have plenty to keep us busy, don't we? It seems to me that there's always more to be done than I have either the time or the energy to do. Usually I don't have enough of either. And sometimes just one or the other. Sometimes I have the time but not the energy. Sometimes I have the energy but not the time. But often I don't have the time or the energy to do everything that I would like to do. And no doubt about it, we do live in very demanding times. We have a lot of helpers about us. We have modern technology that in some ways makes life easier for us. But on the other hand, that same technology also makes us aware of much more that needs to be done as well. With those demands have come abundant opportunities. The information networks have opened up mechanisms for spreading the gospel undreamed of years ago. And It's just something that we are aware of. We can now be aware of that which takes place around the other side of the world in milliseconds after it happens. Now, that's the kind of a world that we live in, and with that there comes all kinds of time and pressure, time pressures. And those demands, those opportunities bring demands and the responsibility to lead disciplined lives. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. I often marvel at those of previous generations. By the way, I'm not a believer in evolution. I don't think the race is getting smarter and smarter and stronger and stronger. I think the race is getting dumber and dumber and weaker and weaker, just as things get watered down. But when you stop and think that John Calvin had written his Institutes by the time he was 24 years old, is that right, 24, 22? I can't remember, but he's in his 20s when he'd completed his Institutes. You look at the books that men wrote, volume after volume after volume after volume, and I struggle to get a bulletin out once a week. You know, it's kind of it's an amazing thing when you stop and think about those things. But nonetheless, we do have things that are available to us, opportunities, demands, and it's important for us to use our time wisely. A good portion of that discipline is expressed in making wise decisions regarding priorities. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are never, ever, I don't believe that you are ever going to be able to do all that you would like to do. I don't believe that you are ever going to be able to do all that you think that you should do. I don't think it's possible. I do think that it is possible for everything to do everything that God expects you to do. I do believe that that's possible. But in order to do that, you need to make wise decisions. And I want to, this is very practical advice from the book of Proverbs. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. And I want to speak this evening about some of the mechanisms that God gives to us here, some of the teaching God gives to us here for ordering your time and choosing your priorities. Because it is something that we have to do. It is something that you do all the time. It may not be something that you do well. And what I'm going to say isn't going to be earth-shaking, but again, I think this is something very valuable to us because it really hits us where we live. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What must you do to redeem the time? Well, first of all, I think what you ought to do is you ought to frequently rehearse the duties and opportunities God has given to you. If you're going to prioritize, you must first have in mind what is before you to prioritize. One of the things that happens to me is if I have some time around the house, for instance, I will get up and I will wander around, and at the end of the day, then I'll remember what it is that I wanted to do that day, and it's too late. But you see, I got too busy to rehearse what it was that I had before me, so I had a list of things that I kind of muddled through, but I didn't sit down and take the time to rehearse all the duties and the opportunities that I had. Now, this is a handy little gadget. I don't know how I can. In fact, I had a rough time living without it. But one of the things that it helps me do in my daily routine is I try to sit down at the very beginning of the day and write down everything for that day and, if possible, everything for the week that I can think of that needs to be done. And that's helpful because you have to have in mind, first of all, the duties and the opportunities that God has placed before you if you're going to prioritize. I had a plumbing project. If you all know anything about me, you know that plumbing is not my bailiwick. I don't like it. One of the reasons that I don't like it is because I've never had a plumbing job yet that I didn't have to make about 5 or 6 trips back and forth to the hardware store to get everything that I needed. You know, you get in. The other part bad about it is that once you start, you have just one little broken part, and usually by the time you end, you have about 15 broken parts from trying to get them apart. So this time, I had quite a distance to go. I said, now listen, I'm not going to come down here again. I want to know everything that I need. Here's what I'm going to do. So I went and I made that guy, that salesman, come with me. And we set it out on the table. And we got all these parts and pieces and we laid them out on the table. And I followed every step to make certain that everything was going to go together and join together so that when I got done, I was going to have have the job finished. Because if I wasn't, I was going to spend 40 minutes driving back and forth between the hardware store and where I was working. Well, you see, I had to sit down. I had to know everything that I needed. I couldn't be close. It wouldn't have helped. I had to be exact, and I never could have done that if I hadn't taken the time to go through every single step. And for the first time in my life, I actually finished the plumbing job without having to make another stop. I sent my wife out instead. but that was something that I didn't envision. But at any rate, there was a bend that I decided to make after the fact, and I did send her out. But nonetheless, if I had done everything the way I was going to do it, I had everything that I needed. But you had to take the time to do that, and that's what we're talking about. So keep in mind the daily duties. I know you think they're routine, but there are certain things that you ought to do every single day. And particularly, I find, and of course we're at the end of the vacation season now, we're just closing it down, but it's particularly difficult to keep in mind the daily duties when you're on vacation and have a disrupted schedule. But keep in mind those things that you're to do every day. There are spiritual duties that you have every day. You ought to include them when you prioritize things. That time for spending time in the Word of God and prayer and leading your family in devotions, whatever it might be, requires you to spend some time thinking about those things. I would put another category under this, a spiritual duty, is just being on time places. You have a responsibility not to rob other people of their time. So if you're going to meet someone, here I'm stepping on my own toes, then you need to keep in mind who it is that you're going to meet and keep in mind how long it takes to get there so that you can leave on time in order to be there on time. But you don't do that if you don't think about those daily routines. You need to keep in mind your vocational duties. What it is that you are to do, whether you are a homemaker or whether you're working outside at the plant or somewhere else, there are certain duties that you have in your particular work, and it's good to keep them in mind mentally or put them down on a piece of paper so that you know every day exactly what it is that you need to do. Some of those are very mundane, but you need to understand the projects that need to be done lest they be forgotten. You have personal duties, exercise and even leisure. These things have to be taken into consideration as well. You have personal things that need to be done, phone calls to make, errands to run, and all those other things. You need to keep them in mind. Then you have your family duties. All of these things you have to keep in mind, and you have to go over them again and again. And you think, well, I do this every day. I shouldn't have to. It's precisely because you go over them every day that you need to keep them in mind, because if you don't, you start thinking about other things, and some of them get pushed into the background. And then you ought to pay special attention to occasional duties and opportunities, those that occur less frequently. It's good to have a calendar. I hope you all are planning on going to the ACRA conference this weekend. I hope you are, but you know what happens oftentimes, if we don't think about it, if we don't put it down on the calendar, things come up and crowd it out. If you want to see me, and if I don't write your name down in the day timer, it just gets filled up. It won't happen. Things get crowded out. So those occasional duties and opportunities that occur less frequently, you ought to keep them in mind, that you can have a place for them. So keeping a calendar or a list is very helpful in those things. So you need to frequently rehearse the duties and opportunities that God has given to you. The second thing that you ought to do is you ought to establish priorities for the orderly and efficient use of your time and resources. And here's where we come more closely to the text that is before us. The first point that we talked about is an implication. You need to know what outside work that you have, and you need to know what inside work that you have if you're going to do that which is before you. But then we come to these priorities which are placed before us, and there are several, I think, which are put before us, one in particular here in this text and others which are implied. You ought to give the priority to that which is necessary for life over what is convenient for life. You understand the distinction? Give the priority to that which is necessary for life over that which is convenient. And we have in the proverb that is before us two areas of work. One is work outside in the fields. You must remember that Israel had an agricultural economy. It was from their agriculture and their planting and their raising their crops and feeding their cattle. It was the way they ate. It was the way they provided for themselves. It was the way they fed themselves and clothed themselves. It was the way they earned an income. The ground outside was productive, and that was the first priority. They lived in a fairly mild climate, so they could live in tents or other temporary shelters. Building a house was something that was nice, but it didn't have the same priority that the growing of crops and of fields had. So if you neglect your field, if you neglect your cattle and build your house, then you don't have that which is necessary for life. And so you too ought to give the priority to that which is necessary for life over what is convenient for life. And here let me make a couple of applications. You ought then, first of all, to take heed to your spiritual life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I was tempted to put them in the other order because I do recognize that a man has to live and feed himself and take care of his physical life before he can read and study the Word. But I also came to the conclusion that if a person is truly guarding his soul and being obedient to the Lord, then he will take care to make certain that his physical life is sustained as well. And so if we look at these things and understand that we are to take heed to that which feeds and nourishes the soul, and that has every bit as much priority as anything else, then you're going to make a time and a place for it. And of course, that has eternal consequences, eternal results. And that was something of what our Lord was saying when he told the people of Israel. He said, I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven. He told the woman at the well, this is the water that I'm going to give you that you can drink and you'll never thirst again. You see, everything else, we eat and drink, and we have to keep doing it because it never satisfies. But with our spiritual lives, we can drink of the Lord Jesus and eat and have our souls satisfied. We can ask the question, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? See, that was the question the Lord asked. That man, that farmer, had a great business. He was taking care of his fields just fine. He was also building his house. But his life was going to be required of him. He'd taken no time for his spiritual life. And our Lord Jesus himself, as he was passing by a lame man, understood and taught us by his example what was important. As he passed by the lame man, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And everybody was very upset at that. And Jesus responded and said, you don't think that I have authority to forgive sins? In order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he says to the lame man, take up your bed and walk. What was the priority with the Lord Jesus? His physical health? No. It had to do with his spiritual life, his relationship with God. And so must you. If you have a right relationship with your God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything else will fall into order. I can't help but think also of 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, the Corinthian believers were all eager to find great spiritual gifts. And yet the Apostle Paul in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians said, you know, you're all eager to have these great sign gifts and everything else, but I want you to know that unless you have the great gift, which is love, you don't have anything. And so that was the priority and the perspective, that if you don't have that which is most important, then nothing else will come of it. So you give the priority to that which is necessary for life over that which is convenient for life, and you take heed then to your spiritual life, but also then to your physical life. There is a place for that. You need to provide for the daily necessities of life, and these take precedence. Several weeks ago, Robert and the boys and I had the opportunity to go up to Grayson Highlands and do what I have not done for many years. We did an overnight backpack up in the Highlands, and silly people that we were, we left after Robert got home from work. And so by the time we got there, the sun was going down. We hiked for a time at night, and it was a great experience. And we were carrying water, but we didn't hike far enough to find water, so we were very careful. And the next morning, the sun came out. It was rather warm. And our greatest and driving factor was, okay, we aren't going to eat. We aren't going to wash our dishes. What we need to do is we need to find some water. I'm here, so we did. but you can understand, see, the priority there was not getting to a particular destination, not eating our breakfast or anything else, but the priority there was to find that water that was so necessary for us to go on. And that is the way it is. Those things which correspond, which take care of our physical needs, that keep us alive, take the priority over that which is merely convenient. So that is one priority. Secondly, give the priority to that which is productive over that which is not. And again, going back to the proverb which we have here, the fields would reproduce the labor that was invested in them. If you go out and you plant seeds in your garden, about this time of year, you go out to your garden and you collect the crop. And in that crop, there is not only, in the farmer's life, there's not only sufficient for you to feed your family, but there is sufficient also to plant next year to bring another crop. In other words, it multiplies itself. And the Lord tells us here, there's a certain priority for us to invest our time and our energies in that which is productive over that which is consumptive. Building a house is not productive. Doesn't mean that it's not necessary, but it rather consumes what we have. And by the way, and we'll get to this, it says, prepare your work outside, make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. There's a place for building your house, but it just doesn't have the priority. And so what you need to do is you need to examine those tasks and those procedures and those opportunities which you have and ask yourself the question, which are going to be the most productive? What will free me up later? And there are a lot of things that could be applied here. There are a lot of applications. Parents, I'm speaking to myself, reduplicate yourself in your home. I know it's easier for you to do the work around the house than yourself than it is to teach your children to do it. It's a lot easier. It's a lot neater, too. But wait a second, in the long term, what are you doing for your children? There are things that your children can do in the home that they can do, which will free you up to do things which they are not able to do. So you ought to be investing some time in training your children. Reduplicate yourself, reduplicate your efforts. Reduplicate yourself in discipleship. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is exactly the admonition that the Apostle Paul gives to his co-worker, Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see the process of reduplication there in discipleship. You invest yourself in those who will be able to carry on that work and that ministry. And you reduplicate yourself in all kinds of ministries. And maybe this is an overlap, but I'm reminded of the debate that's going on reforming welfare and everything else, and there's a lot of debate about that. But one of the things that I would just point out to you, that one of the things that is desperately needed certainly is the preaching of the gospel. But in the preaching of the gospel, the teaching people to assume their responsibilities and then to go out, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands what is good, that he may have something to share with him who has need. I'm reminded of that folk proverb, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. You see, that's what's productive. Giving things away is not productive. But giving tools away is what is productive. And let me say something else with regard to the young people and maybe the older people as well. With regard to the priority of your time, that's what we've spoken about here, but also with regard to your resources, this same thing is true. There's a principle that is not very much heeded in our day, and that is you must learn to put off immediate gratification for the future. You ought to learn, and this is something that we have forgotten in our day and in our culture, that there is something to putting aside and saving. And I would say to you that the priorities in your organizing your household finances is first the tithe, and I'm going to say second is savings a little bit, and then everything else. You pay God, you pay yourself, and then you live within what is left. And the reason that you do that, as you see, is that money that you set aside and save is that which is going to be reduplicated and is going to be productive. The rest of it's going to be consumed. And I think I've told you the story, but it is quite remarkable. And by the way, going to debt is just the opposite in time. But if you have two people who start saving. One person starts saving immediately after he graduates from college and saves for 5 years or 6 years and then stops and doesn't do anything until he retires at 65. The other person decides that he wants to spend, and so he spends all of his money the first 6 years, and then after the 6 years he starts saving the same amount, and he does so until the end of his retirement at age 65. You realize the person who saved for 6 years and then just let it ride has almost identically the same amount to the guy who didn't save for 6 years and then spent the rest of his time until age 65. That's astounding, isn't it? But you see how you prioritize, and your priority must be to that which is productive over that which is not. And in the ministry, it's the same way. We can do a lot of things that aren't very productive, but we ought to focus ourselves on that which is productive. Thirdly, give the priority to that which is most timely. I think there is also a principle of timeliness in this 27th verse. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field, and then afterwards build your house. I think our Lord put it this way: work, for the night is coming when no man can work. There's a time frame element, and certainly we can see that here. You don't exactly want to be out planting your potatoes in the dead of winter when the ground is frozen 3 inches deep. That's not real practical. But you see, that a freeze is going to come, so you give the priority to that which is most timely. You must concentrate on what must be done now over what may be done later. What may be done at any time should be delayed for that which must be done only at certain windows of opportunity. So there's timeliness involved. I think you understand that. And fourthly, give the priority to that which is less enjoyable over what is more enjoyable. Now that's my own application. In the summer, you don't particularly like to work outside. It's less comfortable. Of course, I'm not saying it's a whole lot more enjoyable in the wintertime, but what I'm saying there is I think there is something in our human nature that the things that we need to do that we enjoy doing, we're going to do. But the things that we don't enjoy doing, if we have a list of things and we know that we aren't going to get to them, we tend to put the things that are less enjoyable at the bottom of the list, and then at the end of the day we say, oh, that's too bad, I didn't have enough time to get to them. Right? The trouble with that is that it hangs over your head the whole time that it's left undone and robs you of the joy that you have in doing the things that you do enjoy. So get them done first. And finally, then, I think what we see in this verse is that you're to enjoy the blessing that God pours out on His faithful people. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. In other words, he's saying, it's not that you never get to do that which is enjoyable. It's not that you never get to build the house. There's a certain priority And if you follow those priorities that he's given us in these verses, then when you get to the place where you're building the house, you actually enjoy the whole process and enjoy the fruit of that. God will give you the time and resources for building your house if you give the right priorities to those things which he has ordered. If you take care for your spiritual life and your physical life, if you give the priority to that which is productive over that which is not productive, if you give the priority to that which is most timely, and give the priority to that which is less enjoyable to than what is more enjoyable, then in the appointed time and at the proper time, you will have all the resources you need, time, finances, and materials for building the house. But see, we want to stand it on its head. God will use the very means of self-discipline for providing those resources. Those who put off instant gratification are those who save and invest for the future and enjoy the harvest. The proverb of the grasshopper and the ant. You remember that Aesop's, I think it was an Aesop fable? It was one of those fables. But the grasshopper was always mocking the ant because the ant was just working and working and working and working, and the grasshopper was out having a great time enjoying the sun and chewing a blade of grass here and there, not taking a thought for anything until the winter came. And then what happened to the grasshopper? The grasshopper died. The ant went through the winter. See, he prepared his work outside and then developed his house. But it's the very means of self-discipline that enables us to do that. Those who spend their time productively have time for other things. So God used the very means of self-discipline for enabling us to do those things which we desire to do, which are lower on the priority list. But not only does he do that, but he improves those labors with his blessing. God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then what does he do? After he's worked in us to will and do of his good pleasure and we obey him, then he blesses us for his work in us. That's an amazing thing. That's grace. God adds his blessing. That's how God gives you the time and resources for building your house. But secondly, God will give you the ability to enjoy the houses that you build. Not only will he give you the time and the resources to build the house, but he will give you the ability to enjoy the houses that you build. And I don't know how much you appreciate that, but it is such a true thing. What came to mind, and we're going to sing this in just a moment, we're going to sing hymn 51, but I believe it's the fourth verse, says, 10,000 precious gifts my daily thanks employ, nor is the least a cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy. See, God not only gives you the gift, but he then gives you the ability to enjoy the gifts that he gives. I want to say something, you know, just by way of, I think all of those here who are older could say this to those who are younger. The things that God has given us that we enjoy the most, I think, are those things which we have waited the longest for, that we did without, and we planned, and we saved, and we scraped, and everything else. And those are the things which we have the most. The things that came easy to us don't have a great deal of value. You see, God, with the giving of those priorities and the ordering of our lives, not only gives us the wherewithal to build the houses, but then he gives us the grace to enjoy that which he has brought forth for the discipline of our lives. May God make us more and more disciplined. I know it's an ongoing struggle. The constant struggle that I have is ordering my time properly. But may God use this verse to bring to mind the priorities that he's given us, to use the time and resources that he's given us. Prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterwards, then, build your house. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we thank you for this instruction, which does indeed address our needs. And we are reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who above all was the master of his time and resources, who did not squander any of it. He understood what his priorities were. And so as he taught his disciples and as he taught those about him, he kept repeating that it was his purpose, his objective, to do your will, to speak your words, to do your work. Grant then, Father, that we who have been renewed in the image of Christ may have his heart's desire to be pleasing unto you and to order our time and our resources in a manner that reflects the priorities that you have established in your word. Make us diligent. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways in which we depart from this. Forgive us for considering other things, and grant that you would give to us, grant that we might have that ability to order our time and the resources that you have given to us in a manner that would be pleasing to you and of benefit to your church. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to hymn 51 and sing that hymn. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Let's stand together as we sing.
When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Unnumbered comforts to my soul thy tender care bestowed. Before my infant heart conceived, from whom those blessings flowed. When worn with sickness, oft hast thou with health renewed my face. And when in sins and sorrows sunk, revived my soul with grace. 10,000 precious gifts my daily thanks employ, nor is the least a cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy. Through every period of my life, thy goodness I'll pursue. And after death in distant worlds, the glorious theme renew. Through all eternity to thee, a joyful song I'll raise. For all eternity's too short to utter all thy praise.
Receive now the benediction of our God. And now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and abide with you forevermore. Amen.